My name is Stephen Enoch, and welcome to 411 Podcasts.
Nigeria. In a time when the country is bedeviled by so many issues such as terrorism or banditry, unstable fuel prices, extreme poverty, fluctuating currency exchange rates, amongst others, how hard is it being a Nigerian in times like this? Mrs. Zuwera Omar is a human rights activist who works with the Resource Center for Human Rights and Civic Education. She explains how certain women at the grassroots level struggle to survive with difficulty.
It's extremely difficult for people in the community. If you look around, you find that there are so many beggars that are not even supposed to be beggars. I was in a conversation with this Adede Tisao driver who says every day he comes from Kura local government into the city, that he brings in women, and those women are about four of them, that they are all married to us, the same person. But the husband and the wife with the children come to the city here, that's Kano City, to beg. That once he drops them, they all scatter. The husband is a truck pusher, he sells water, while the women go out to source for livelihood. That they have younger girls who are at home into petty trading. Some have been sent to houses for manual labor, and they have been paid as little as 2,000 a month. So you can see that it's extremely hard. They are finding it very, very, very difficult to survive. You see women with, they don't look like beggars, but they are begging with their children. Their husbands have run away. They don't have any source of livelihood. Now, Gari is competing with a plate of rice, which is not supposed to be. Now, beans has become something untouchable. So you can see it's affected everybody. And the government are just silent about it. No matter how sincere and how pure your intentions are to call to their attention, they feel as if you are just attacking them, you are antagonizing them, you are anti-party. Just of recent, I was at the pediatric hospital. You need to see, in my presence, two children died because the doctors are on strike. The hospital that was catering for some of the people in Kano Municipal, that is Hasia Bayero, is shut down. And the pediatric now is overwhelmed. And the hands that are working there are mostly nurses and midwives. In my present, because of oxygen, a girl of just 3 years old died in my present. The second boy died on his way up. And there are about 20 women with their children in their arms waiting to, I don't know, die or get salvation or whatever, waiting for births. They are to be admitted, but there are no bed space, and they are just sitting there.
In Nigeria, a graduate is expected to serve the country for a period of 1 year and would be posted to any state for the service year and would be paid monthly allowances, fondly called alawi. Ajibola Adebayo is a core member serving the country, and he says in times like this, the country needs the dedicated service of youth corpus. However, this cannot be fully feasible with the issues bedeviling the country.
The value of the allowance a copper collects does not equal his or her expenses. Reason being that the cost of things in the market today are on the high side. Considering a copper collects that's 3,000, for example, and the cost of the bag of rice in the market today is 30,000. Mind you, I'm not saying the copper will be buying a bag of rice every month. The economic challenges facing this nation, Nigeria, today has shown that There is no even difference between when a copper was collecting 19,800 to the current 33,000 because of the cost of things in the market. If you must know, today dollar to naira is around 520 naira to 530 naira. It is sad that we find ourselves in this situation. 33,000 cannot, in fact, a copper cannot solely depend on that. I know of coppers who still call home for assistance. A copper cannot be contented with 33,000 solely. You cannot depend solely on it. Contentment cannot come on that platform because of these economic challenges. A copper, for example, is posted to Lagos, for example, and is collecting 33,000. The cost of housing alone if where the PPA of that particular copper is don't provide a place for the copper has to look for a place to stay. Meaning when you get a place to stay, you have to pay NEPA bill, you have to pay water bill, living. That cannot even make a copper to be contented with what he or she is collecting. It makes copper look elsewhere. In fact, I know coppers that have been able to, who have ideas on how to develop their environment and their community, because but what they are collecting is not even enough for themselves. Talk more of to share. We know of coppers who have support from their family, who have been able to raise things to support other people. They are different, our hands are different, and our faces are different.
With the recent increase in the interest to relocate from Nigeria for a better future, Deborah Alfred, a content creator and founder of Writerpreneurs World, affirms that a good percentage of youths are eager to leave the shores of Nigeria for better opportunities in other countries as a result of the condition the country has been plunged into of recent.
Youths are looking for out-migrates. Yes, so many people turn to scholarships. It's not because they really want to leave their country. If we find them to be patriotic, but because they understand that if they are to thrive beyond the shores of this country, they need to look for opportunities abroad. Okay, so kudos to those that are doing that. I don't see anything wrong in it. All right. It is all for the betterment of this nation. If Nigerians are thriving abroad, if they are doing so well in education, in health, in technology, in science, in any aspect basically, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as, in fact, nobody will blame them if they decide not to do anything for their country. Because the question we all like to ask is, what has this country done for me? And like I said before, the state of the country is enough to make anyone want to give up. So if you are able to migrate and create a better life for yourself, it's all well and good. At the end of the day, it is your survival that is most important. All right, so even for youths looking for out to migrate, I don't see anything wrong with it. Okay, I don't see anything wrong with it. My only charge is that in their own way, they represent Nigeria very well. If I had the opportunity to travel out or to migrate, I definitely would do the same thing.
After successfully migrating from Nigeria to Germany, Mary Oluwaroye says Nigeria is always home and nowhere can feel like home. However, she grieves at her fatherland when she thinks about the state of the nation.
I try my best to be a good ambassador, to defend and also to talk about my country. But what it is what it is, you know. Home is always home, right? Even if you stay in a foreign land, home is home and there's no place like home. I weep. Of course, not physically, but like internally, I weep and I keep asking myself, why, you know, when you've stayed for a few years in a country where the system works, you cannot help but keep asking yourself, why is it that the system works here, but the same cannot be replicated at home? Or even if, of course, not the same process, but why is it that the system does not work at home? Why should I be happy? Of course, I'm not. I'm sad. I'm not happy. The first day I got to this country, you just know the atmosphere itself is entirely different. The air, the view, you know, you just know that you are in short, even from the airport, you know that, oh my God, this place is totally different. And a lot of my friends, my family, loved ones, anytime we communicate on phone, they keep saying, don't even think of coming, oh, don't stay there, don't come, you know. If it's really a good place, a safe haven. Of course, it's. I miss my family and I will always want to come and I will come. but not now. But what I'm trying to say is that, of course, I'm not happy. Most Nigerians that are living in a foreign land are always afraid of going back home because they see the news, there's true life story, you know, stories of what happened, the Fulani herdsmen taking people's land, killing, you know. They are always afraid that they are easy targets for bandits, for hoodlums, for, you know, wicked people that wants to just, you know, take their life and collect their money or kidnap them for ransom. Go check the news, you see how it is. So most Nigerians are really, really not happy. They don't even want to come back home because they just know that they are not safe. Something will happen. I'm speaking on behalf of most Nigerians. Most of them will not want to come because they are not happy with the state of things. If Nigeria were to be a better state, a better country, of course, we will not even hesitate because our loved ones are there, you know. So for me, it's a capital no. Of course, I'm not happy with how the state of things are in my country. Seeing what is happening, you know, I've never been this enlightened about my country, and I never believed that my country was even worse until when I left. When I was in Nigeria, I did not really witness everything, but I just felt to some extent not as bad, you know. It was when I came to Germany, then I started seeing the rottenness, the corruption. Like, I started seeing it the way it really is, and like, I started believing in that, oh my god, this is really, really real. I came to really see what is happening in my fatherland when I came here. Like, it was just like an eye-opener.
In a time like this, when the people's voice is of importance to the authorities, is the freedom of expression really respected? Kolawole Oluwadare, the Deputy Director of the Socioeconomic Rights and Accountability Project, explains more.
The socioeconomic issues in Nigeria and the resultant effects on the people will be better described by each individual, since it is said that he who wears the shoes are wearing pinches. But what is obvious, and we have data to support this, is that majority of Nigerians are living in poverty. If one would really find a reason to be inspired to say he's happy being a Nigerian, but even the role that tradition and religion plays, that may possibly account for the level of happiness or hope that you find in the people, not necessarily in terms of their socioeconomic rights. Presently, if I'm to assess the Nigerians of today, September 7, 2020, 2021, whether the right of expression is being respected, I would say no. And there are various indices to support this. The federal government has banned Twitter for some months now, which is a major avenue for people to express themselves. And we've seen the National Broadcasting Commission time and again issue restrictive instructions to media houses, including the threats of either a shutdown, or in some instances, punitive actions by way of fines. And we've seen the way law enforcement agencies attack people for expressing what is perceived as critical views of government. And coupled with the lack of transparency and accountability in government spending, one cannot say that Nigerians are enjoying the best of freedom of expression. And in this instance, we need to understand that freedom of expression is twofold, as guaranteed by Section 39 of the Constitution and Article 9 of the African Charter of Human People's Rights. It is the right to express yourself and the right to receive information. And so how transparent is the Nigerian expenditure as per the budget? How is the procurement act being followed? Can people follow the allocation of resources from the federal to the state, even to the local government? Do they have access to this information? And how well has the freedom of information fared? How accessible are information on public expenditure and funding available to the people? Looking at this in totality, I would say that the freedom of expression in Nigeria is not doing well.
Since citizens' rights or freedom of expression hasn't fared well, going by the obvious happenings in the country, it is expected that the media, which serves as the voice of the voiceless and the voice of the people, should be able to stand in the gap. Alawo Abiodun, a journalist who works with the Nation newspaper, explains the current state of things.
The media has been given the power to hold the government accountable. But sadly today, Nigerian media is under siege. There are so many draconian laws that have been enacted to put the press freedom in bondage. Now, recently there was a media protest against some laws that were introduced, and Nigerian newspapers all over jointly published the same front page headline with a bold headline saying "Information Blackout." That was to drive home message that most of newspaper editors or editorials were against the proposed law to stifle press freedom in Nigeria. Again, last month the NBC issued a letter to broadcast stations in Nigeria, requiring them to downplay the worsening security situation in the country. These are pointers to the fact that the government seems to want to clamp down on the activities of the press, because they can see that the press is doing a greater job in unraveling so many issues. Take for instance the NSAS protest that happened the last time. Some media houses were fined, for reporting on the protest. And now look at issues of today. Nigeria is even ranked about, 120, yes, on the World Press Freedom Index, because they've seen Nigeria as one of the most difficult or dangerous country where media can be practiced. And the situation seems to be getting worse every day. The recent ban on Twitter is also a pointer to the fact that the government is doing all things to ensure that they clamp down on the activities of the media. So the freedom of the press, or the ability of the press or the media to operate freely, is not yet in reality. It is still on paper, and we hope that things will be resolved and to get better with the country. So looking at the case of freedom of expression in Nigeria, there are many scenarios, many cases that we have seen that many who have expressed themselves, in the end, they come back being haunted for their expression or for their speech or for their remarks. Nigerians have rights to hold their views and to express themselves freely without any form of intimidation. If you look at the government of the day or the way things are now, things have gone so bad that many are scared of expressing themselves, because there's this popular maxim that says freedom of speech is guaranteed, but freedom after speech is not guaranteed. When a commodore went on Channels TV weeks back for an interview, he made so much revelations. What was the next thing they did from the government forces? All they did was to see how they clamped down on the media for allowing such an interview. Also, tactically said they were inviting the person, the commodore, who was invited to the program for questioning. So what does that speak? It shows that you are free to express yourself, but what comes out of that expression, we don't know. So there are different cases that we have recorded in the past where media are being subjected to this sort of scrutiny because they give persons or individuals platform to express themselves. This is the only way people can express themselves, and they want their voices to reach a larger audience. What would the media do? Media amplify, their opinion within the framework of what will not incite or cause violence. You can say you are free to express yourself, but what comes out of that expression is what we are still battling with in Nigeria. So it shows how free speech is not yet guaranteed in reality. If you look at what is happening today, many are scared of expressing themselves because they know that expressing themselves might result into maybe being arrested or even maybe being oppressed or intimidated by the government forces.
As Nigerians remain hopeful of a better country, it is imperative that the government gets sincere with the people, have a clear focus, and be willing to ameliorate the evils bedeviling the country.
However,
influential individuals in the society should also ensure that they keep engaging the government and insist on the right values for the betterment of the nation.